Hello! Welcome to the Tales Over Tales podcast, where dear friends connect over their love for reading, giggling, laughing, drinking fine wine, and having a great time. I'm Jordan.
I'm Alicia.
I'm Abigail.
Oh my gosh, the trio's all here.
Woo!
Hi guys!
Oh my gosh, it's so good to see you, Abigail.
And I can't wait to see you in person. What, just a little less than 2 weeks?
2 weeks, you're going to be in Pennsylvania.
It's going to be really cold.
It's so cold.
I'm jealous. I need a vacation.
You do. What was your high today? What was the high today out there?
The high, actually, it's a little bit warmer. We had a high of 38. So the weather it's not in the teens anymore. So.
Oh my gosh.
You're going to need it.
Yeah. Like this one time I woke up and I was like, I went to my car getting ready for work and like 14 degrees. So none of that this week. So that's nice.
Oh man. Okay. Well then. Is that the high for the week? I guess we just shared our high
level. Oh yeah, no, that's the high part of the
was that it's up
the weather.
To
that's the weather.
Abigail, why don't you go first? Share some highs and lows since you were last with us.
I wasn't here in December. I didn't join you ladies in December. I was in Monterey Bay, California with my boyfriend. We took a week out there. We were there from Christmas Eve to New Year's Eve. Just having a break from the cold weather. It wasn't super warm there, but it was warmer than here. So that was nice. It was a really nice time. We just kind of had, we got a good opportunity to relax, explore the area. We got to this was Matt's first time seeing the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, so, that's wonderful.
So he was really excited. Yeah, so it was a good trip. So
did he put his feet in? Did he get in?
No, it was too cold. He just put his hand in and he was like, oh man, it's too cold.
Marco was determined. I was with Marco the first time that he went to the Pacific Ocean and he did not care how cold it was. His feet had to go in.
Oh.
Yeah. So that he could say he's been in the Atlantic and in the Pacific.
See, Matt doesn't like that because he doesn't want to take off his shoes because he doesn't like sand. So he just put his hand in.
He doesn't go with you to get pedicures, does he?
No, he's
exactly. I haven't convinced Marco yet. I'm working on it. Hopefully he will. Okay, so your high was your trip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's see. And then another high I want to tack on to that is started my new job. Really enjoy it. So it's like I was saying last time, I'm entering my corporate girly era. So it's been really nice. I love the atmosphere. My supervisors are really great, helpful, approachable. And then coworkers are really great and helpful. I enjoy where I'm at, which is good. This is my first time doing full-time, like having one job and doing full-time work, which brings me into my low. It's not really a low, it's just a me problem, but I get bored easily. So I've just been bored a lot after work. I'm like, where's the rush going from one job to another and working myself to death? Now I just have one job that I'm working 40 hours a week. And it's nice and I'm super grateful, of course. But I'm just trying to figure out what to do with myself. And I think it was last night or the other night, I just yelled out to Matt. I'm like, I'm bored. I don't know what to do. And he's like, get a hobby. And I'm like, okay, I'll find something.
The podcast is, reading is your hobby.
It is. And I have been reading. But the thing is, I don't have a full caseload at work. So I just, on the hours I'm not seeing clients one-on-one, I'm just reading, which I enjoy, which is nice. I can bring my book. Whatever, okay. No one cares. But then when I get home, I'm like, I want to do something.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly warm enough to go out
exactly
for walks and things right. like that. No. Okay.
Like, heck no, nope.
Oh my gosh. But, well, Alicia, do you want to go next? You want to share some highs and lows?
Sure. Let's see. Low. I guess we can just start off with the low because I'm still
pretty annoying. So at my job, we've been having some really just busy days ahead of us, but I was cheated out of a promotion, unfortunately. Yeah, so when I talked to my supervisor about it, he was like, well, just work harder. And I was like, well, I didn't know putting 100 hours every 2 weeks wasn't working hard, but, you know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. So I'm still kind of bummed about that. I just don't know what more I can do in this case, especially when everyone is getting their, like, promotions and getting all these praises. And I'm over here working really hard behind the scenes, and it feels like I'm not getting awarded for it.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, it really is, but I just have to push through and, you know, just coast my way through this year so I can just interview for a different position at the office. It just pretty much solidified that I'm done with this department that I'm in, and I feel like I just definitely need to move elsewhere because it has been a very toxic environment since I started there a few years ago. So I think it's just kind of time for me to definitely move on in this case. So that I think that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
My high, the Chiefs are playing right now.
I know.
I'm missing it, but it's okay. We're here.
We'll be able to get the second half of the game by the time we're done.
Right. It'll be fine. It'll be great. So, I mean, I'm excited. Of course, I hope they make it, you know, into the Super Bowl because that would just be amazing.
I asked Marco, so he and I had lunch before we started recording, and I said, okay, so say that the Ravens beat the Chiefs and we don't make it. Are you rooting for the Lions or Niners over the Ravens? And he was like, I mean, probably. Like, I'm pretty sure I would root for the Lions or Niners. I want to see it for the Lions. I'm not going to lie.
I do too.
I really, really do too.
Yeah.
So
I know. And my husband is a big, you know, he's a big Niners fan. But I was like, listen, I love you, but I'm not rooting for the Niners today. Like,
you said that?
Yeah.
That's what started the fight in your house.
Probably. But but I mean, it's like, listen, the Lions have been through a lot this season. They've been cheated out of a game. And I'm like, listen, if anyone deserves a good win,
yeah,
it's them.
It's them.
You know. But anyway, so that's.
Okay.
That's me.
So there's your high.
Yep. What about you? What's going on?
Okay. Gosh. You know, for the most part, I'm going to be honest, I haven't had too many lows. I guess my low would probably be just, honestly, listener, dealing with some technical difficulties, some technical issues, getting things set up. Today.
I'm so scared for your wires right now. I have stuff right here and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm afraid.
Yep, just go ahead and move those. Let's keep it safe.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest, I think that's probably my low. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, since last recording, I feel like things have been pretty good. My high, you know, I'm gonna be honest, listener, I probably can't fully disclose my high just yet. Mm-hmm. But I did get some exciting news this last week that I am super grateful for. So I've just been focused on celebrating that and exciting things to come. These girls are dancing in the background.
We're doing like our silent celebration over here.
We're silently supporting you.
Thank you. No, that means a lot. Thank you. And yeah, things have been going relatively well. The weather has been really nice out here. So enjoying a lot of extra walking and reading outside. Oh my gosh. Have you tried your Kindle outside in the sunlight? It's a game changer. It's amazing. If you don't have a Kindle, you need a Kindle and you need it because it's a completely different experience from like trying to read anything on your phone. Zero glare. I absolutely loved it. I was super grateful. So anyway, should we dive into what we are drinking and then talk book?
Yes.
Because I'm super excited. Okay. So listener, we decided to stick with wine to kick this episode off for our drink pairing, but not just any wine, because we are talking about multiple loves in our lives today. We couldn't exclude red, but we also couldn't exclude white. So
I told the ladies, I says, pick a red and a white. So thankfully, I've got Alicia here to drink with me.
Yes.
We've got Behringer Brothers Bourbon Barrel Aged Cab for our red.
Yay.
And then, Abby, what's your red?
My red is actually from this winery that I went to last week. It is from Tomasello's Winery. It's called Palmaris. So it's a Pinot Noir.
Okay. Well, I'll say cheers. We can choose what we want to sip, but cheers. And we'll get to going in here in a little bit here. And then our white over here is the Chateau Saint-Michel Sweet Riesling. I think I've had this with you, Abby. We used to get back when we lived in Eugene, I think. Mm-hmm. And then what's your white?
My white is Pinot Grigio by Prophecy. So it's this California wine, nothing too like, you know, fancy. I think it was like on one of the, you know, lower shelves at the grocery store. But I like it. It has like a sweetness and a lot of like fruit and floral taste to it.
Ooh, I love that.
Okay. We'll have to look that one up and try it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, should we dive into book?
Yes.
Are we ready?
Ready.
Okay, so Alicia, take it away with our synopsis. Here is One True Loves by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Yes. When Emma Blair first met Jesse Lerner, she was a bright-eyed high school sophomore living in Acton, Massachusetts.
In the years after, Emma and Jesse are now living in California and blissfully about to celebrate 1 year of marriage when he ends up going missing and is presumably pronounced dead. After returning home to Massachusetts and completely devastated while entering her 30s as a widow, Emma ends up reconnecting with Sam. The two eventually become engaged, and it would seem that everything is coming together until Emma receives a call. Jesse is alive, and he is coming home. Such a clean husband she thought she lost, and a fiancé, Emma is forced to figure out the future she truly desires for herself. One True Loves by Taylor Jenkins Reid is a heartwarming story of what happens when life and love take unexpected turns. It sets out to ask the question, can you really only ever have one true love?
Oh my goodness. Well, what did you initially think of the book, Alicia?
I thought this book was so good. It definitely was heartbreaking at, you know, there was just so much that happened. And, you know, it was hard to be angry with Jesse in this because, you know, he went through so much. And same with Sam too. I mean, even though he, you know, he loves Emma's, and I don't know, it was just, it was a lot.
I know there was definitely a lot there. What about you, Abby? What did you think?
I like the book overall. I think I like the story. It's not a traditional love story, and I think that's why I liked it a lot. Because usually when I go into like books with romantic content, I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be like, you know, just like a, you know, linear love story, you know, maybe some bumps in the road, but it was very untraditional where it really questioned, like, can you love two people so much at the same time?
Yeah.
I love the characters. I love them growing with the main character, Emma, throughout the book while she goes through her grief, her transformation, and just really, you know, kind of the confusion of having her first love return back into her life. Sam is such a sweet guy. Oh my goodness. Any character named Sam, they're the real ones. Like,
that's a valid point. I started thinking about that with the name Sam. I was like, I'm going to have to think real hard about a character, Sam, that I've disliked, because I'm not really sure that there is one.
I don't think so either. Yeah, not that I can think of.
Once I'm like, Sam, you know what? You're following in the footsteps of all the Sams that came before you. You're great.
Okay. And when he was friend zoned hardcore back in their teen years, mm-hmm. like he didn't even like water off a duck's back. He didn't even seem to let it faze him. Mm-hmm. He was like fully content and at peace to move on until they reconnected.
I know.
When she was a widow.
Yeah. And that part too was just, you know, what are the chances that, you know, she comes back home after this devastating incident? She mm-hmm. runs into Sam and she's like, I know I friend zoned you back in the day, but, you know, let's give this a good old try. And that was super cute. And
he's so charming.
He is, I know. And then that whole letter that she wrote to Jesse to like let him go so she can go on that date with Sam, oh, it broke my heart. I was like, I'm already gonna cry.
This was your first Taylor Jenkins read, wasn't it, Abigail?
Yeah, it was mine. Yeah, I've never read anything by her before. And so I know she's like, she wrote The Seven Husbands of
Evelyn Hugo.
I heard that was a good book.
And she did Daisy Jones and the Six.
I still have to read that one, but I heard that
it's so good. I listened to it on audiobook, but it is very, very good. And so is The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Mm-hmm. Listener, if you remember, we covered that in three parts.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot to unpack mm-hmm. in that book, that's mm-hmm. for sure. I think this is actually an older book than Seven Husbands, if I'm not mistaken, because this one came out in 2016. Alicia's going to look up when, mm-hmm. just look up like her bibliography or whatever.
Yeah,
right now. But oh my gosh, did anybody else love that her family had a bookstore?
Yes.
I thought it was the coolest, sweetest thing. Oh, I know. Abigail's like, got her hand over her heart. She's like,
ooh. Oh my goodness. I was like, this is what a great family business to pass down.
Okay, but when she was being such a teenager about it, mm-hmm. I don't want a bookstore. Even teenage me bookstore still, I would not have been that way.
I also loved how when like she got punished for that incident in high school, instead of getting grounded, they're like, you have to work an extra shift in the bookstore. I'm like, I want that. I wish I had that.
Abigail would totally do that.
Yes.
You mean you're working full time, child.
For real, I'll be like, sign me up. Like, loved it. And just everything. I love the Blair family. Can we talk about them for a moment? Like,
please.
Oh, goodness.
So there's four of them, listeners. So there's Mom and Dad, Colin and Ashley. And then Sister Marie.
Yes.
Who is 2 years older than Emma?
I believe so. I believe like a year or two older.
Like only like a year and a half, maybe 2 years older. Mm-hmm. And just the way that they grew into their friendship as sisters as well, right?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So beautiful. It made me think about my sister, to be completely honest with you. And Alicia, having grown up with me, can speak to this, and she knows. I mean, when I got engaged and then just planning our wedding and everything, my sister Tara and I really started reconnecting a lot more as adults. We have 10 years between us, so a little bit more than only a year and a half, 2 years. But Abigail, you and Vicky are a little closer in age.
Just 8 years apart. We're very close, but we weren't always close, like, you know, because when I was a teenager, she was a child, and so I wanted nothing to deal with her.
Abigail's mm-hmm. the older sister. Yeah. Alicia and I relate because we're the youngest.
Yeah, and when it comes to my sister and I, so me and my sister are 15 months apart.
Okay.
So we were very, you know, at each other's throats in high school. But once we graduated and we kind of went our own separate ways, we got actually a lot closer. So I definitely love that dynamic with this book too, how it was with both of them, how it was, you know, they were at each other's throats and she was like, I want nothing to do with her. And mm-hmm. then this devastating thing happens and that just brought them so much closer. And
yeah,
that was
their father had said one time when she was a teenager, there was a line, he said, like, one day you're going to need each other, need your sister, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that one.
True. Like, yeah, like siblings, you know, we're at each other's throat, but then when we need each other, like,
we're there.
Siblings will step up. Yes. And be there. Absolutely. Like, I would say my younger sister, Vicky, she's my ride or die. Like, even though we were at each other's throats, like, today, like, we are very, very close. And I appreciate the journey that it took to get there. So that's my favorite memories.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then even we'll kind of tie that in with a little neat bow for you, listener, because at the end, so Emma ends up running the store for her parents. And by this point, Marie has become a stay-at-home mom. She's got daughters. Okay, we're going to talk about Ava and Sophie for a moment and just the representation there. But Marie no longer wants to be a stay-at-home mom, and she becomes the assistant manager at the end.
And it was like, it's exactly what her parents wanted for them this whole time was, you know, when we retire, we want our daughters to, like, run the store. But Emma was just so set on, like, I just want to get out of Massachusetts. And so that's why her and Jesse left to go live in California. So that way she could be away from there. And then when, you know, everything happened and it brought her home, and think I love that so much, how everything just ended up coming together for all of them, really.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how those of us that fight so hard to leave home end up being the ones that return.
Right.
Not speaking from experience or anything.
Not you. Someone else.
Yeah. Someone else entirely.
Yeah. Someone else. So we've all done it. I left Jersey with the intention of never coming back. I told everybody, I'm never coming back to New Jersey. Like, I'll never be
around. Even when she was creeped out by the super friendly Oregonians.
Yes, I stuck with it. I was like, it's not Jersey.
this isn't right for me.
Listener, I literally was with Abigail one of the first times someone was just very nice to her. Those of you that live in the Pacific Northwest or are West Coasters, you know how we do. Hey, how are you? It's nice to see you today. Abigail literally is like, who are you?
What do you want from me?
Exactly. But you know what I appreciate though, like, about the Blairs though, really quickly, is that I just thought of this, is that they didn't force, they knew that they wanted this to happen and they would talk about it, but they didn't force their kids to, like, you know how some people are like, this is the path you need to take, or
you're talking about, like, running the store.
Running the store. It was so great how they just allowed their children to live their lives. And a part of them knew that this would still be something that happened, where both their daughters would be running the store. Maybe they didn't, who knows? But the way it worked out and how they really took a step back and were very supportive of both of their daughters, I think that was very beautiful.
Yeah, and that was the dynamic too that I got from the Blairs, was they were very not pushful at all. But when it came to Jesse and his swimming career in high school, his parents were like, you're going to swim all day, every day. You're going to be in the Olympics, you know, kind of a situation. And that's also something that brought both of them together was, you know, Jesse hated swimming and Emma hated the bookstore. And that was what got both of them away from Massachusetts and brought them to California, and they ended up doing something completely different with their lives than what they wanted. So
yeah, and if I remember correctly, I think that you are right, the Blairs didn't force anything on their girls. They didn't force that on their daughters. There was a level of heartbreak though. I remember early on in the book when Emma is, well, Taylor Jenkins Reid from Emma's point of view is talking about moving to California and the challenge that it was, you know, to your point that you brought up, Alicia, when they, you know, when Jesse and Emma sat his parents down, talked to him about, you know, the Olympics was your dream for me, not mine. I don't want to do that. And it was kind of a similar conversation or situation when Emma, you know, shared she wanted to go to school in California. She didn't want to stay on the East Coast. And I think that it was hard for them, but they did ultimately come to a point of acceptance. Like she talks about arguing with her mom. There's a point in the, there's like a point in the paragraph, I feel like, where she talked about that, where she talks about how challenging it was, but that ultimately they came around to.
And I thought it was a very interesting perspective on coming back into what was originally planned for them. So like with Emma, she ended up, you know, running this bookstore. And in a sense, Jesse kind of with his swimming, because he mentioned that while he was on the island, he wanted to find a way home. So what did he do? He swam. And he swam and, you know, went back to the island, swam a little further, went back to the island. Like he was running a trial.
Kudos. I mean, Taylor Jenkins Reid, excellent writing.
Yeah.
How else were you going to explain that this character survived or made it back? Yeah. So listener, if you did not read along with us, basically there's this big, he was in a chopper. He was in a helicopter, right? It was a big helicopter incident over the Aleutian Islands. He was the only one of the four or five people in there.
Four.
I think, that survived. Yeah,
there was, so I put down the little snippet that we got from when the helicopter went down. But it says, but the first time they took the helicopter out, it never came back. The best anyone could conclude was it went down somewhere over the North Pacific. The four people on board were lost. My husband, my one true love, was gone. So there was four people.
I know. Being the only survivor of that, and then figuring out mentally, like, how to contain yourself, basically keep your sanity while you're on this island, this very small island, alone, and not knowing if anybody would find you, not knowing if your food would run out. You know, there was at one point he described like a shark was circling the island for a little bit, for a few days.
You know, he had to cut off his finger.
Yep, he had to cut off his pinky. Oh my goodness, the pain and suffering that this man went through, you know, because one thing I wanted to bring up is that he experienced PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And a lot of time, and you know, how when he came back and he didn't want to talk about it and he wanted to really avoid the subject and go into everything's fine, everything's okay, everything is as it, you know, as it was before. One marker of PTSD that is not commonly known is that avoidance. Like, you know, a lot of people think PTSD and they automatically go to, oh, the person has flashbacks and they're like screaming and they're going back into that moment. But another marker is like you will avoid thinking about it. You will avoid any memories, anything that would remind you of the situation, anything to avoid. And so that's what he was doing. And even though it was hard, not like, you know, you were I was feeling frustrated with Jesse's character. When I put that perspective of like, he's very traumatized and he does not want to remember his, what was it? He was gone for what, 3 years? His three and a half years of just being traumatized every day and not knowing if it was the last day he would be alive, and holding on to his memories of the woman he loved. That's what got him through those really difficult days that probably, you know, because I'm going to assume that he wasn't holding on to his sanity every single day, that there were some times where he had breakdowns. And that was his thoughts of Emma were what got him through those really hard times.
Yeah. And I think that's what made me just relate to Jesse so much, is because I understand PTSD. And I understand what it's like to go through something traumatic and then, you know, you don't want to have those memories come back up because, mm-hmm. you know, why would you? So your brain does such a good job with just shoving those memories as far down into your cortex as possible so you don't have to experience it. And you just want to seem like, you know, happy-go-lucky and nothing happened and, you know, life is just going to go back to normal and everything is going to be fine. But when things don't turn out the way that, you know, they were for him, you know, he thought he could be gone for 3 years and come back and Emma was going to be waiting for him and they were going to just go back to their normal life. And, you know, something he didn't realize, I think, up until that argument they got into was she thought that he was dead. Everybody thought he was dead. So it's hard to not, you know, be angry at him because it's like, forget it, you know, you want everything to be the same and it's not. And it's unfortunate, but.
Yeah. And I guess just to kind of wrap up Jesse's perspective or kind of speaking to his experience, it's a full circle moment at the end, right? When he calls her, he tells her he met someone because listener, so when Jesse comes back, Sam at this point kind of talks to Emma and says, I need to know that you are with me. I need to know that you are for me. I want you mm-hmm. to want to choose me. I want you to want to be with me. So right now I'm going to remove myself in order for you to be able to figure this out because it's a very confusing headspace to be in, right? When you all of a sudden have this husband that you thought or presumed was dead return and you've got a fiance at yeah. the same time, right? We'll talk about how that gave me bachelorette vibes. Literally all I thought about was like every finale when it's down to the final two. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the heck?
I know. There was one part that I highlighted too from, you know, after everything happened, she ends up choosing Sam at the end. And she ended up saying, don't ever let anyone tell you the most romantic part of love is the beginning. The most romantic part is when you know it has to end. And I was like, ooh. I was like,
That's a very powerful.
And we're going to talk about Sam and Emma
yes.
in a minute. Mm-hmm. But at the end, when Jesse has returned to California and it's like 6 or 9 months later or whatever, mm-hmm. and he calls Emma and tells her he met someone and mm-hmm. he tells her like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Like, I understand what you were talking about and I get it now. I didn't then, but I understand because I'm so head over heels. I'm so in love with this woman now that I'm with that I just, that was.
And something I think about is that that's a testament to all the work he's most likely done in order to get to that place, to be able to mm-hmm. want to feel vulnerable, to love again, to feel safe enough to love someone. That's a testament to all the work that he's done to understand Emma's point of view, because he was very, very angry. You know, he was trying to be understanding when they last saw each other in person, but still held a lot of anger and confusion. But yeah, I wanted to also highlight that because he did so much work most likely to get to that.
Can I ask you a question, Abby, as a mental health professional? Were you concerned for either Jesse or Emma when they went off to Maine?
I was concerned about, I did feel a little concerned because I thought, my initial thought was like, if he's going to snap and they're alone in a cabin, like, you know, who knows what like his snapping would look like, you know. Luckily it ended up being very safe. Like, he still loved and cherished her and he became angry. But at the same time, part of me was like, okay, is this safe for the both of you to be completely alone after, 2 days after he gets home?
So, well, the red flag, there were a couple red flags, listener, right? Because he's driving without a license.
Which they got in trouble for.
Mm-hmm. He gets, because he gets pulled over.
Yeah.
And even if I'm remembering correctly,
just his attitude or his demeanor toward the officer that pulled him over too. Like that was where I started, like my heart was palpitating. I was like, I don't know if I thought anything was gonna happen or not, to be honest. Like, but that was why I was curious from your perspective too, as a mental health professional. Like,
I was definitely concerned about his just well-being, because he really needed more intensive work. And him continuing to, like, whenever there are lines of, you know, I remember this, and this is how, like, you know, this is how things were, like when he was saying that he wants things to be the same. I know that in extreme cases, individuals who experience extreme trauma, and like they experience a moment where maybe that they experience a higher level of distress, and being able to do that when you're feeling safe, when you're feeling, you know, kind of around people that you feel safe around, that's important. And so I think that's why when Jesse got angry, he was able to still be present and not let his anger overtake him, because he still saw Emma as a safe person. Right. to feel that anger in front of. So I'm happy that it happened. Like, honestly, when he got upset, my first initial was like, listen here, buddy. But then, like, I felt like, oh, good, it finally happened. He's going to be able to move through, like, what's going on, and have the motivation to get the help that he needs.
Yeah. No, I agree. Oh, man. Yeah.
But Emma's own grieving process, I wanted to highlight just a moment. When she was grieving him, there was a chapter, I think it was like chapter 12, where the perspective shifted from first person to like third person. And so that was a really good indicator of how grief, when you're in a deep depression, you can dissociate. And so you're kind of talking yourself through the motions instead of you experiencing it. It's like almost like you're on the outside looking in, trying to act normal. And so I think that was a very subtle shift, but that's what I noticed in that one chapter only, chapter 12, that happened. And so that was after she moved back to Massachusetts that chapter happened. And then it was just her going through her grieving process for, I think it was maybe the 2 years that that one chapter took place in. And then the next chapter was her coming, like meeting Sam and kind of moving through her grief. So I thought that was a really subtle way to explain what grief can be like, or deep depression can be like.
Yeah.
And I just thought I liked the humor, you know, that we got a little bit there when she ended up going home after she found out that Jesse had passed. When she got home and she like snuck into her parents' house, and her dad comes in her room with underwear and a bat, like he's going to do something. And it was just so funny, but I just appreciate how her parents just let her talk and vent and grieve and cry. And they were just like, you know, we're listening, we're here. And they just let her process everything. And they were like, okay, we'll get some sleep and we'll talk more in the morning. So I thought that was so sweet too.
Well, and that was also, so after Jesse's return, and then Sam just kind of asks her for some space to figure it out. So she volunteers to leave and ends up at her parents. And then the next day she goes to Marie, right? I so appreciated Marie's wisdom because she shares with Emma, like, yeah, you're kind of at this crossroads and nobody can figure it out except you. Mm-hmm. You have to base this on who you choose to be with. It's not so much about you can't love them both. You can love them both, but more of the sense, who do you want to be with as a result of who you are? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's, and I just,
Oh my gosh. When Marie was, I was thinking of you, Abigail. I was like, I've had these conversations. I've 100% had conversations like this where it's like, yeah, Jesse was right for that time mm-hmm. when they were in their 20s, right? Before the accident happened. Yeah. And then coming back, like being in their 30s, things are so different, right? Let's talk about the vegan grilled cheese that Sam so lovingly is willing to make for her and the tomato soup. Oh my God. Can I just tell you, my husband knows the way to my heart is chicken tortilla soup and a grilled sandwich. Sometimes that's all I want on a bad day or even on a good day. Sometimes all I want is chicken tortilla soup and a grilled cheese sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how, because just after she reconnects with Jesse and she comes home to Sam, this is when they kind of have that parting conversation. And he's made just like the most delicious tomato soup and vegan grilled cheese because Emma doesn't eat cheese anymore, right? And
you're in your 30s, you process dairy quickly. I mean, differently. So, yep.
Why you got to bring that up? I know. I'm figuring it out, unfortunately. Do I still love it? Yes. Abigail says, so do I. No, what I was going to say to that is Taylor Jenkins Reid, I also just feel like she wrote so intentionally because she points out and makes this point like, yeah, like Sam has figured out how to make this really delicious vegan cheddar grilled cheese sandwich for me, right?
Yeah.
And on their way to Maine, Jesse gets a pizza.
And Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what Emma used to love. Mm-hmm. She used to love cheese, pizzas, and Diet Coke.
Yeah.
She doesn't drink Diet Coke anymore. Yeah. She doesn't eat cheese. Her hair has changed. We were talking about that before we started recording. And in the conversation she has with Jesse after he, you know, kind of starts to accept she's not going to take him back. She's not going to choose to salvage their marriage. She's going to choose Sam. And he tells her he hates her hair because she went from long, like, honey brown hair to like a short blonde
pixie
or bob kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And it's just very poignant and it's very intentional too, because I think Jesse says something along the lines after he says, I hate your hair. He says, my Emma had brown hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
he you're finally not. Pulled together. Yep.
Yeah. You're not my Emma anymore. You're not my Emma.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Did this make y'all think of Castaway? Yes. I talked about how it gave me Bachelorette Final 2 vibes, but let's talk about Castaway for a second, because I was telling my husband the premise of this story and he goes, you're reading Castaway.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
Pretty much what it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Wilson?
I don't know.
But
maybe Wilson was the creature that kept stinging him while he was swimming.
Maybe. Oh my goodness.
Did Wilson take his pinky?
Oh, there you
did
go.
Did Wilson take his pinky?
We'll say that. There you go.
His nub. Aw, poor Jesse. Yeah, he went through a lot. But yeah, it was definitely Castaway. Oh, Castaway vibes. And I was like, but the same thing happened at the end of Castaway. He didn't end up with his girlfriend, his fiance.
Right. Because Helen Hunt's character had moved on and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I actually have not watched the movie all the way through. I've only ever seen clips. So I do need... whatever. I need to watch it. I know. I am. I need to watch it. So that leads me to the question, would we have been upset with our beloved author, with our beloved character, Emma, if she had returned to Jesse?
Yes.
What if the... Oh.
I was going to say no, but Abby, why?
I was going to say yes because... when she's with Jesse, she goes back to the old Emma. she, you know, I feel like it would be a betrayal to who she is now and the growth that she's under, you know, that she underwent over the last like three and a half years. Because she took a long time to find out who she was. And even though, because she didn't date Sam until Jesse had been, had passed away, quote unquote, passed away for 2 years. And so she took those 2 years to, you know, get her hair cut, find like a style that she liked, and just really fall in love with who she was. And I think Sam fell in love with the fact that she knew who she was. And being going back to Jesse would have just been like a lot of times she was making little choices to almost betray, you know, who she had become by like saying like, you know, like not telling him about the pizza right away and not telling him that she changed her last name. And not having these, you know, these important conversations that I think in any relationship really help you to connect and understand the other person. And so I think I would have been upset if she went back to Jesse, because I don't think she would have been happy because she's so content with the life she has now. So that's my thought.
No, that's I appreciate that. I think you make a valid point. So you said no.
Yeah. So I understand, like, I get what you're saying. I'm just wondering if the reason why she held back at first is just because everything is still so fresh. And I'm wondering if maybe they had more time together and they had, like, that big talk, you know, that everything actually is not okay and everything is not what it was. And if they went through therapy and, you know, they went through what I'm sure couples who end up going through something traumatic, you know, go through, if maybe that would have changed anything. And I just kind of wonder from that perspective too, if it's like, you know, if she would have told him, you know, hey, by the way, like I've changed my name and, you know, I did X, Y, and Z. I'm not this person anymore who drinks Diet Coke and eats cheese pizza anymore. You know, how willing to accept that on Jesse's side, if that meant not losing her too, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just wonder how much it would go on both their parts to get the therapy that they would need. So that's kind of where my perspective was too, you know, and who knows, maybe if it was something where Emma was like, you know, they went through therapy hypothetically and they tried to work on it for like a year and she was like, this isn't, you know, gonna work after all, you know, and then she just was by herself. Like, who knows? You know, we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
That perspective. Mm-hmm.
I'm torn. I don't know whether or not I would have been happy with an alternate ending of like her and Jesse committing to working it out. Mm. I think there's obviously a very strong case, right? Like, the things that we go through do shape the people that we are, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And you certainly aren't the same in your 20s mm-hmm. as you are in your 30s, you know?
So
I turned 31 the week before I got married. And I can't tell you what a blessing, what a relief being single in my 20s was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only now looking at it that I go, oh my gosh, it was, and I dated, let's be honest. I had interests, I had loves, I had in fact a love.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't the path I was meant to forge, right? And only through time and experience do you honestly get to learn that. I don't know. Am I speaking to the development of the prefrontal cortex at this point? Because Abigail's like nodding, like, yeah, pretty much.
Like, once that happens, right? You know, we start to, you know, reason really starts to kick in for, I think, women, it's around 25, like that prefrontal prefrontal cortex fully develops. But even like thinking about it in terms of just, I think that I truly believe that if Jesse did not get on that plane, they would have spent the rest of their lives together. I think that either way, she would have been able to spend the rest of her life with either of them. It just happened that this circumstance occurred, this huge event occurred, and it changed the direction her life was going. But I truly wholeheartedly believe that if he didn't get on the plane, they would be together for the rest of their lives. She probably wouldn't be running the bookstore. She probably wouldn't have gotten her hair cut, but I think she would have been happy and content. This tragedy presented an opportunity for her to try a different path. And that path led to Sam. So I think that's why like the book is called like the One True Loves, because I think both of them are her true loves. And if circumstances yep. were different, like even in high school, if Sam had fought for Emma instead of just leaving for college without saying anything, you know, it probably would have changed like, you know, the path of her life. So I just really think that circumstances and the choices that we make really change our paths. And yeah, I truly believe that she could have like seeing her being married to either one for the rest of her life.
Yeah, and just going back to like what you were saying before, Jordan, too, just about experiences that we've had, you know, obviously before we've met our husbands, like I totally understand that too, considering, you know, I was my son's dad. Like I thought he was going to be my high school sweetheart. And once we got, you know, into our away from high school adults relationship, it turned out not to be what I thought it was going to be. You know, it was not the best relationship. It was not the best environment for me. It was not the best environment for my son. That's why I left. And, you know, a few years go down the road and I met my husband, but we only dated for a year, but we broke up because we're like, no, there are some things that we needed to work on for ourselves. And we were broken up for about 2 years. And then we got back together and we saw that growth. We saw how much we had needed to change to make this relationship work. Now we're married and we have a beautiful little baby together, you know? Mm-hmm. So I definitely do think that the way this book ended was how it needed to end, was mm-hmm. because she fought so hard to go through that change. Yeah. And she couldn't be that old Emma anymore. And I understand that because I couldn't imagine being old Alicia anymore either, you know, being in my 30s now. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and she calls that out to Jesse. Mm-hmm. She's like, you're not the same Jesse.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. have to see that. You have to acknowledge that and make space for who you're going to be now. Yeah. I do want to close us out. I know we're kind of getting to the end. First let me ask this before I read this quote from the book, because this was your first Taylor Jenkins Reid novel, Abigail. What did you think of the writing? Are you going to read more?
I would be interested in reading more. I enjoyed the writing style. I think that the way that she describes everyday like tasks gives it so much meaning. Like when she was talking about like describing, like there was a page where she was describing butter and the emotions that you can, like she connected with that butter. Like it wasn't just like, oh, she's just looking at the butter right now. It's just like, you know, that happens, like where we have like our emotions are connected to a certain memory. And I think she does a great job of doing that, of describing in the simplest way. She doesn't go into like, into a lot of detail with it, but it's just the simplicity of it that I connected with. So I will definitely read more of her. I really loved the emotional journey that she took me on and like the subtle ways that she did it.
Yeah.
It was definitely a very interesting read, and I definitely read more from Taylor Jenkins Reid.
No, and I wanted to read this quote in closing us out. It's from the end of the book, towards the end, page 323. It's messy to love after heartbreak. It's painful, and it forces you to be honest with yourself about who you are. you have to work harder to find the words for your feelings because they don't fit into any prefabricated boxes. But it's worth it. Because look what you get. Great loves. Meaningful loves. True loves. I loved it. I thought it was so, so good.
Yes, so beautiful.
And even when she's talking about, this is another quote earlier on in the book that she, because she talks about coming home, right? Making the decision to come home to Massachusetts. I had predicated my life on the idea that I wanted to see everywhere extraordinary, but I'd come to realize that extraordinary is everywhere.
Yes.
Oh, such good reading. Such good writing. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, that was One True Loves.
Yes.
By Pennington Reed. Oh my gosh. If you saw me on my Instagram stories earlier this week, freaking out over the fact that this is already a movie, transitioning into our film segment. Abigail, did you look this up after I told you about it?
Yes, I did. And so it looks really good. And I would definitely be interested in seeing this movie. So.
Oh, I fully plan to watch it. I love Phyllis Sue. She's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Alicia and I talked off pod. Like, we were like, this does not quite look like the cast I would have envisioned. But you know what? Not mad about it. It's okay. You know? But I just... Okay, because listen, I completely ignored the fact that on the paperback book, there's a sticker and it says, now a major motion picture.
Oh, those are usually pretty big stickers.
Thanks. So. Okay, that sticker is not big, ma'am.
It was pretty big.
It is not. No, it is not. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, let's go over. I mean, I don't know, you know, we can certainly obviously visit who we would be interested in seeing. I did, so I was like kind of trying to think of like teenage Jesse and or Sam. So I thought of Dylan or Cole Sprouse.
Yeah.
For like young Jesse or Sam. I don't know. And then I was fully thinking of the cast of Something Borrowed. Have y'all seen Something Borrowed with Kate Hudson and Jennifer Goodwin? Immediately, Jennifer Goodwin was who I pictured in my brain for Emma.
Mm.
And then John Krasinski for Sam. No, John Krasinski for Jesse and Colin Egglesfield for Sam.
Aww. So funny. So when the book begins, we get like a huge overload of like how these characters and their descriptions are. Mm-hmm. So when we get Emma's description, she's blonde pixie, you know, hazel eyes. The first two people I thought of who have rocked blonde pixies was Florence Pugh and Jennifer Lawrence.
Agreed.
So I thought of those two.
Okay.
And then I thought for Sam, Avin Jogia, he is, he's from Victorious. I don't know if you guys remember him.
Picture. Beck.
Yeah, so him for Sam.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
okay.
For Jesse, I was thinking of Richard Madden from Game of Thrones.
Oh, I can see.
That was who I like had pictured in my head.
Okay.
Like, oh, yes.
Okay. Okay. He was also in. No, he was also in Rocket Man with. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, what's his name that I love? Shoot.
Egerton.
Yes, Taron.
Taron. Thank you. Oh, like Egerton. I know his last name.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Anybody else you were thinking of, Abby?
So, yeah, Brie with Alicia, Jennifer Lawrence was one of the first people I thought of for the role of Emma. And I think for Jesse, I was thinking of Jacob Elordi. I can never say his name, but he's from Euphoria. And he also, I think Kissing Booth he was in.
Yeah, he was.
And then he was in that new crazy one, Saltburn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have y'all heard of this? Nope, I have Yeah. I'm sorry.
For you and let you know.
That's fine. I've read the synopsis. I'm not about it. It's probably not going to be one I know. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I'm sorry. Abigail will watch it for me, and she'll tell me the same thing that she told me about Game of Thrones. She's going to be like, you're not going to last.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you won't.
It's a little crazy, but I would say him because he's very handsome and he's 6'5". I'm like, being a swimmer, like, I don't know why, but I associate height with swimming, but.
Oh my gosh. What about, what's his name though? From the Social Network.
Which one?
Shoot.
Which way?
I'm totally, no, don't worry. I'm not talking about Armie Hammer.
Andrew Garfield.
Okay.
Andrew Garfield, he's very handsome.
Spider-Man?
Yes. I should have said Spider-Man, but I was also thinking of the other one that played Mark Zuckerberg for a second.
Jesse Eisenberg?
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But as soon as I thought of Garfield, I was like, shoot, I could picture Andrew Garfield a little bit more in this than I could Jesse Eisenberg. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
yeah. And then for Sam?
McGuire, he's lovely, you know. You can throw him in there.
I can see it. And then just because I like him, Liam Hemsworth. I'm like, you can play
Liam shirtless Liam Hemsworth any day, and I am old, y'all.
Who do we think wins in a swim race, Chris or Liam?
I don't know.
Oh, Chris.
They both fly.
Abigail said you both win in my book.
Right.
Well, yep. You're both winners.
Chris is more of the endurance. I keep thinking about his Thor training. I don't know if you guys have seen the way that he trained for Thor.
That's so
goodness gracious.
So. There's always Abigail's favorite, Chris Evans.
Cricket.
No, thank you.
Right?
I'll be nominated once for a part. I don't remember what it was, but that's all he gets.
Anyway, all right. Well, should we get into some end matter? So for next month, oh my gosh, it's already going to be February, which is crazy. But Abigail and I are going to be going to go see Kristen Hannah on her book tour. So I'm super excited. And we decided that for February, since it is also publication month for Kristen Hannah's latest book, The Women, that is going to be our February book pick. Mm-hmm. It releases, oh my gosh, is it February 9th?
Yeah.
Thank you. So there you go. So comes out February 9th. The Women by Kristen Hannah will be February's pick. I'm super excited to read this with you ladies. Nice. I think it's going to be amazing.
I love Kristen Hannah.
Oh, I know. I do too. Mm-hmm. Alicia's the one that hasn't read her yet, right?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay.
I'm excited. Ooh. I'm hyped.
You're going to want to read everything from her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I cannot wait. Part of me, okay, listener, because I'm so excited, maybe I'll throw a poll up on my social media because I was debating to get into the Kristen Hannah spirit. I still have not read Firefly Lane, and I know that it's a Netflix series, mm-hmm. obviously, with Katherine Heigl. I watched the first episode, and then I was like, let me not get too far. I'm going to stop myself before I watch this series and read the book. So I do have the book. Part of me was like, ooh, do I read that one on my way to come visit you? Oh. And then I read The Women on the way home.
There you go.
No decisions.
We'll see. We'll see. But speaking of social media, listener, we love hearing from you. We would so appreciate, leave us a 5-star rating and review. It would be so great to hear from you. We do have an email, talesovertalespod@gmail.com. Feel free to reach out to us with any suggestions, any thoughts, comments that you want us to throw on the pod. We also have a Tales Over Tales Instagram that you can look up, and you can find me and my new Instagram handle. I am at Cozy Reads and Sips. That is Cozy, C-O-Z-Y, Reads and Sips. I'm super excited.
Yeah. And you can actually find me also. I have a bookstagram now. So you can find me at Allie, A-L-L-Y, .reads.turner.
I feel left out. I just have my regular Charles in Charge. What?
But it's still like to follow you and to watch your life. Yeah,
follow and watch.
Yeah.
Well, until next time, stay reading.
Stay in class.
And as always,
stay dreaming.
Love you, ladies.
Love you.
Bye. Bye. Bye.